speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Are you dealing with some sort of a challenge in life? You know, if you're not at this very present hour dealing with some sort of a trial, it's likely that during the course of your time that you have dealt with a trial. Have you gotten to a point in dealing with the challenge that it seems as if it is too challenging? It seems as if there is no end in sight and that this is really and truly wearing you out. Does it seem as if the odds are stacked against you and that there's no way that you will be able to persevere and to prevail? Friends, you and I are not alone with the feelings that we face from time to time. You know, it is indeed a part of life. All of humanity has dealt with or is dealing with or will deal with various trials and challenges in our lives. And in all, God wants us to know that He understands what it is that we're going through, and God wants us to lean upon Him, to put our full trust, faith in Him, to know that not only does He know these things, but that also He is there to help us through, no matter what it is that we face. You see, with God, all things are possible. We have a lesson in the Old Testament Scripture that I want us to look at today that we will make an application to this very end as we will draw the lesson to a close as to the way in which we can learn from God's people and the example that He gives us of the days of old in the days of Gideon. The Bible identifies from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 5, that the Midianites were allowed to trouble Israel for some 7 years. In this, can you imagine putting out a garden that has plenty of harvest, but yet at the same time, whenever the harvest is due, your neighbors come and steal the produce? This is exactly what Israel was facing with the Midianites. God allowed the Midianites to oppress Israel and to plunder their goods and to control their lives. And friends, it's in the 8th year that we finally find is that the Jews have had enough and they cried out to God that God would help them from this trial. In this, we need to understand that they were indeed God's people and God had plans for them. We understand this because of the promises that God had made to Abraham, concerning not only Abraham, but all of his descendants. And in these times that was proving to be very difficult to them, God wanted them to know that this was only momentary, this trial of which they were going through, and in this context, they had learned their lesson, at least for this given moment. And therefore, this prompted God to send Gideon to them to deliver them. As you look with reference to Gideon and his name, it means cutting off or hewing down. And from this we understand is that Gideon was a man of a simple lifestyle. He was a farmer of Manasseh. And in this too, as we look with reference to the context and God calling him to come and to assist his people to help them against this oppression that they have been facing with Midian, we find is that he is somewhat of a reluctant servant. In the context, there were several things that this man needed to overcome in order for him to be a mighty warrior and leader amongst the children of Israel. In the context of the Scripture, we understand that he questioned God concerning a number of things. To begin with, he questioned God about his concerns, about God's concerns for the Jewish people. Why would he question God about his concerns for the Jews? Friends, from the context, it ought to be very obvious or apparent why he questioned God. They were his chosen people. From God's own words himself, he had chosen them. And he had delivered them out of Egypt and was giving them a land of promise filled with all the blessings that centered in and around the fact that they were his people. But yet now God was allowing the Midianites to oppress them. God was allowing the Midianites to steal from them. He had allowed them to control every angle or aspect of their life. And this trouble, Gideon, God, why have indeed you allowed these things to happen with your people? And what Gideon needed to understand is what God has sought to reveal to him and to them all along is that the reason that they are suffering, it was not God's fault, but rather it was because they had turned away from God. They were not complying with the standards that God held them to in their lives. But then also, he questioned God about his own abilities to save Israel. You see, God told him that through your hand, we're going to bring salvation unto this people. And yet in the context of what we find in Judges chapter 6, verses 15 and verse 16, he says, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You see, he was looking to himself and himself alone as being able to carry out this task that God lays before him to save Israel. He was not looking to the fact that God was going to be working with him and that God was actually going to be working through him to bring salvation unto Israel, but rather he was looking to himself and saying, God, who am I that I might be able to deliver these people from the oppression of the Midianites? Friends, also, we learn in the context of his questioning that he questioned God about selecting him to lead them out. As you read from the context, his excuses here sounds somewhat like or very familiar to what we find with reference to Moses. He made all kinds of excuses as to why he was not fit, as to why God should not have selected him to lead them out of this oppression, to deliver them. And he tried in questioning God, I believe from the context we could deduce, is that he's wanting really and truly to be able to change God's mind. Friends, also though, the context of this scripture identifies that he questioned God about his confidence in him. You see, when God called him, God identified in calling him a mighty man of valor. And he wanted him to go with all of his might to save his people. And yet, as Gideon is looking at himself, we can almost hear him say, who, me? Who am I to go and to do what it is that you have planned for me? You call me a mighty man of valor, and God, I myself am not certain with regard to what it is that you want me to do, but also I'm not certain with regard to my confidence level that I will be able to carry out what it is that you have planned for me to do. What is it that God was wanting Gideon to do in all? As we look with reference to the fact that he wants him to serve as a leader over Israel, to begin with, we need to understand is that God wanted Gideon to trust in God. He had plans for Israel to go against Midian from a militant standpoint. They were to engage in war. And friends, this troubled Gideon. And Gideon put together an army of 32,000. And as he put together an army of 32,000, that number seems like a huge number to us. But friends, as you look in comparison to those of Midian, there was 135,000, if memory serves me correct, that they were going to be coming up against. And in all then, Gideon might have put forth an argument in regard to his trust in God, saying, well, look, God, by all means, I trust you because I have 32,000 going against 135,000. Is that not trust within itself? And friends, God came to Gideon. And Gideon must have been surprised by what God had to say in regard to this assembly of people that he has put together. Because God says to him, there's too many. He says, Gideon, you've assembled too large of an army. And he identifies to Gideon, Gideon, you go to those soldiers and you ask those soldiers, who's afraid? Who is fearful? And those who are fearful or afraid, he says, you let those soldiers go home. And he says, then you come back with those that are left. Friends and all, the scripture identifies to us is that there were 22,000 who were afraid, who were fearful, and went home. They were sent home because of the fact that they could not fathom the idea of going to war against 135 of their people who had oppressed them, against those who hated and despised them. And therefore, Gideon now is left with 10,000 to go into battle against the others. That says a lot, does it not, about those 10,000 who stayed? We oftentimes will focus upon the 22,000 who feared and went home and say they were a bunch of scaredy cats. I probably would have been amongst those 22,000, to be honest with you. But the 10,000 who stayed, what does that say about them? They were men who had great confidence, not only in themselves, but I believe also in the fact that God is going to work with them and through them to deliver them from the Midian oppression. But friends, at the same time, while I said a minute ago that Gideon must have been surprised whenever God says 32,000 is too much, he must have been shocked whenever God says to him now 10,000. 10,000 are too many. And therefore God says to Gideon, I'll tell you what. He says, send the men down to the river. And this is paraphrased. And then he says, those who lap the water up like a dog, he says, set them aside. We're going to use them. But he says, those who get on their knees to partake of the water, he says, then we're going to send those home. Of the 10,000, 9,700 were sent home, and 3,000 are left to battle. Friends, can you imagine how Gideon must have felt? Gideon, who had assembled this mighty army together. Gideon, who is this mighty man of valor, yet at the same time a man who has made multiple excuses because of his lack of self-confidence. Now God has allowed, God in fact is responsible for the dwindling of His army from 32,000 all the way down to 300 to be able to embattle against Midian. What do we learn in regard to the context of what God reveals to us? God identifies to Gideon as well as to the others is that victory is going to be certain. Why? Not because of who Gideon was. It wasn't because of that he had an elite group of 300 who had special training in armed forces or anything like that, but rather they were going to be able to be successful because God is working with and through them to bring forth this victory. The Lord commanded Gideon to attack the camp of Midian. And friends, when we look with regard to this, Gideon and Purah first goes down, and they go down to spy upon what's going to take place. And in this, what we find is that one of the Midianites, he's had a dream. And what is this dream? He has a dream that a large barley loaf tumbles on the camp, and it crushes one of the tents. And it is revealed as he is now telling his dream to yet another one of the Midianites is that this is indeed how that Gideon is going to lead the Jews to encamp against them and that this is going to lead to the demise of those of Midian. What did Gideon do? The Scripture identifies to us is that Gideon went back and Gideon explained what it is that they have heard. The message to the 300 who are going to go into battle. Gideon now divides the 300 men into three groups. And friends, these individuals go out. And as they go out with a pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet. And where do we find Gideon? Gideon's not standing behind them saying, go get them, guys! Gideon's not... Now, he didn't send him a letter and say, you know, I wish you well in battle. But rather, what Gideon says unto them, do as I do. What does that tell us about this man? It tells us that indeed God saw something in Gideon that Gideon had not saw in himself. Now, Gideon has faith and trust because of all that God has shown him. And all that God has been doing with and through him up into this very hour. He says, do as I do. I'm here leading you. What a lesson that is for those of us who are leaders in the church. Leaders do not push, coerce, or try to pull people along or to drive them, but rather we're to lead, to be out in front as leaders of the children of God. We find is that Gideon personally led and took charge of leading them against their enemies. And friends, from the context of what we read in Judges chapter 7, verses 24 and following, God gave them victory over their oppressors. When we think with regard to the ways in which these things apply to our everyday walk of life, there are a number of things that we need to understand. You see, God allows us to go through various challenges in life. He allows us to see or to face various circumstances in life. There are so many blessings that we have in life, and those blessings we are most joyful to be able to receive. And as Christians, we need to know that whenever we have great things going on in our lives, it's because God is working to supply those blessings to us. James chapter 1 and verse 17 shows us without question that every good and perfect gift that you and I experience in life, in fact, not only us as Christians, all of humanity, it comes down from the Father of light in whom there is no variation. God is responsible for the blessings that we have, yet at the same time, life is not always a bed of roses, is it not? Sometimes we go through some trying moments in our lives. Sometimes we deal with sickness and illness. And sometimes we deal with questions whether or not a job will be there, and therefore whether we're going to be able to have finances to continue on with our livelihood in the manner of which we have been going. Sometimes we're dealing with, will I be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish with my family before I pass away? Will I be able to live faithful before God with all of these burdens pressing down upon me? How in the world will I ever be able to be successful in life? And friends, in all of this, God wants you and me never to question Him. Gideon questioned God's love for Israel. God, do you really and truly care for us in the fact that you've allowed all of these things to happen? And friends, there's the key to all of this. God didn't cause it to happen. God simply allowed it to happen. And God doesn't cause bad things to happen to us in our lives. God allows those things to happen in our lives. You see, from what we learn in Scripture, trial and temptation, it is all a part of life. And God is faithful, though, and will always supply a way of escape. And in those times that we're dealing with challenges in life, God wants us to lean on Him and to trust in Him and to allow our faith in Him to abound. And not to lean upon ourselves and to say, who am I that I might be able to deliver myself or my family, or that I might be able to deliver someone else from the trial that they are facing? The fact of the matter is that yes, God might be working through us, and God might have chosen us to help either ourselves or our family or someone else, but at the same time, it's not fully upon us, but rather we need to understand is that God is going to accomplish these things by working in and through us. And therefore, the glory and honor goes to God at all times. You see, our abilities to prevail are not always determined by numbers. As we were beginning with the lesson this morning, I asked, do you ever feel like the odds are stacked against you? And truth be told, any time that we're dealing with a trial that's really burdensome to us, isn't that kind of where we get to? We kind of feel like, I don't know if there's a way out. And friends, the truth of the matter is that as long as we have God on our side, all things are possible. As long as we're striving to do things in accordance to the will of our God, God is working mightily in our lives with us, through us, for us, to help to deliver us. And I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said as he wrote to the saints at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, our abilities are only there to be able to go through whatever it is that we face in life because we are leaning upon our God, and through Jesus Christ we are able to conquer no matter what it is that we face in this world. You see, God promises us that He will take care of us no matter what the outcome. If we're dealing with sickness, God says, I'm going to be with you through that, no matter if it means that you're going to be able to be healed or even if it means that that you're going to face a number of other things. God says that if we're dealing with a loss of income, God says that if we're dealing with no matter what situation it is in life, He says, I'm going to be with you through this, no matter what. And He says, in the end, what I expect of you is faithfulness. And what I expect of you that will qualify you as being able to be seen as faithful in my sight is obedience. Obedience to the commandments that I lay before you. And in your obedience, I want you to serve me with great joy, as well as with anticipation, knowing that in the end, if you stand firm, is that you will find victory. Maybe not in this world, but you will have victory in the end to spend eternity in heaven with our God. Are you dealing with a trial in life? Are you dealing with a situation that seems monumental, that seems too large for you to be able to handle? Friends, truth of the matter is that we should never try to handle anything alone, but rather we need to handle everything going through our God, knowing that He will help us, that He knows what we're going through, but knowing that He is there for us to help us to be able to persevere and then in the end to prevail. The greatest burden that one could be dealing with today is sin. Are you dealing with sin and the fact that you've never become a child of God? Have you never confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God, submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If you've not yet done that, friends, today I stand before you and tell you that that is a burden. And that is a burden that you cannot bear yourself. That is a burden that we can only take to God through Jesus Christ in baptism. And it's in baptism then that God will forgive us of that sin. And in forgiving us of that sin, He will add us into His kingdom and give us hope and a whole new outlook on life, unto eternal life. It also may be that we have members here who have turned back to the ways of sin, and that too is a burden that you cannot bear yourself. It is a burden that you cannot get rid of yourself. It requires coming back to God through prayer. And through the prayers of the church, we will pray with you and for you that you will be forgiven and restored back into a relationship with our God. If you're subject to God's call today in Christ, we invite you.